Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Yeah, Linda's here today. We're having a debate this morning and Linda is joining me. Good
morning. Well, we're not having a debate, well, but who's in the debate?
It's District 1 for the Board of Supervisors. Kevin Cry and Aaron Resnick.
All right.
They will be here at 8, and the debate will start right at 8 o'clock.
And
today,
it is
it'll
live.
Go for an hour. There'll be no phone calls.
No phone calls.
Right. But we'll get into that later.
Right.
Good morning, everybody. 7:05 in the morning, and the news is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, and courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Liam's at the helm. Good morning.
Good morning.
And does it have a national day out there?
We do have a national day. It is National Mad Hatter Day.
Oh, well, that seems appropriate.
Or Orange Wine Day.
Orange wine.
Now that's a newbie.
Orange wine?
They're not really good national days, honestly.
I don't know what orange wine is. Maybe somebody could tell me
wine made from oranges.
That's what I would guess.
Right?
Yeah.
But have you ever tasted it? Do you even know anything about it? Is it from what region is it? And where? I just want to know all about it now.
It's a thing.
I'm going to have to look it up.
Frankly, it's been given more time than it should have. But
maybe not.
You look it up because
maybe it's something
you can make wine out of any fermented fruit.
I'm sure you
can make it out of honey.
That becomes mead. No, that becomes mead, and it has no grains. I mean, it doesn't have anything weird in it. Mead is just honey fermented, but it'll get you drunk.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. There sounds like something in a mead when we watch the medieval.
13th Warrior.
Yeah.
Okay.
63 degrees in the downtown studios. Looks like we are going to have a sunny day with a high of 93. Mostly clear skies tonight. Overnight lows of 63. Tomorrow calls for 97 on our Friday. Friday night, clear 62. Saturday, sunny with a high of 95. So you still got those great weekends if you want to go paddleboarding and stuff. Saturday night, clear. Can you believe that? Almost the middle of October. We're paddleboarding on Saturday night, 62. Sunday, 94. And Columbus Day is Monday. Did you know that that just snuck up on us? Columbus Day is Monday? I'm surprised they're still calling it that. With a high of 93. I'm sure there's a name.
Well,
so another name they're going to try to strike it.
Oh, no. Then I think it's also Indigenous American Day. Also.
Well, according to the National Weather Service, when this thing gets printed out, it says Columbus Day. So maybe they just haven't gotten, woke. Hey, and the weather's brought to you by Shasta
don't
Gas
get
Propane.
Me just
locally
get
owned
me
and operated with senior and veteran discounts.
Why would you slap me in the face?
365-3793.
A piece of raw meat like that at 7 o'clock in the morning before the debate starts.
You need it. Wake up. There's a
veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans.
You know,
over
there's
there
a
snippet. Shasta Gas Propane.
I said all that, but you were talking over me. So there's a snippet from Moonstruck. That one of these days, Liam, you and I are going to sit in there and we're going to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We're going to hit the 10. One of my favorite ones is when Cher slaps the face of, what's his name?
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. And says, snap out of it. I love that. Not that I am advocating anybody slapping anybody's face, but it's just a funny moment in time in cinema history.
I would have a tough time with that. If you ever slap me.
Oh, no. There.
No.
Are you kidding? No. Anyway, let's go into something else besides that. That is just
I've never had to worry about that, though.
No.
You're not a violent person. Hey,
she wasn't either. They were in love, and it was passionate.
It's a movie.
Yeah.
You know, always tell yourself when you're in a movie, when you start getting caught up in it, it's a movie. It's the director and producer's idea of what happens. And that, you know, when it says based on a true story, based on a true event, it's based on a true event because maybe something happened like this at one time, but everything from then on is made up. So the Wright brothers or the Spirit of St. Louis with Jimmy Stewart. That might have been closer to real life, but if you follow baseball, and I don't, it appears that Aaron Judge hit the second 62 home runs in the year, setting the big record. And here's the thing is, oh, New York Yankees. He's from the New York Yankees. I was going to say, I'm not even sure what team he's on. A guy by the name of Corey Humans caught the ball.
Okay.
And he's got it.
Okay.
So, but they're saying is he may have snagged a six-figure tax bill when he caught Aaron Judge's record-breaking 62nd home run on Tuesday night at Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas. It all depends if he wants to sell the ball, which they believe will go for at least $2 million. And then he's got to pay taxes on that. And, as of Tuesday night, he hadn't made up his mind. You know, he may give it back to the New York Yankees. But as soon as he caught it, security came and got him out of there. Took him away
Ooh.
From the game. Well, yeah. I mean, all of a sudden you're holding $2 million in your hand. And people might jump on him and could take the ball. Anyway, not that that happened, but they made sure it didn't. Security whisked him away after that. And the tax rules are really confusing. One guy caught a ball when it was the 61st home run by this, you know, by a player from St. Louis. I can't remember his name now. And when he gave the ball back to the team, the IRS hit him with a $15,000 tax bill. And President Clinton said, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. And the IRS relented and said, okay, you don't have to do that. But can you, okay, so this is what it becomes, is if he sells it back, I guess it's like anything. You just won. And that's essentially it. You just won $2 million, so you have to pay taxes on it. But if you give it back, you don't. Or if you keep it, you don't have to. If you keep it in your family and put it in a family trust.
Oh, that's good.
That's an idea. Mm-hmm. That was Mark McGuire, by the way, who first broke the single season home run record, but it didn't count because he was on droids. He was on steroids, as a couple others that were hitting massive home runs back there, but they were on steroids. And they said, you know, oh, he broke the record. No, he didn't. He was on steroids. And in fact, how many games in the season now? You know, when they first went after the Babe Ruth record, which stood for so many years, Babe Ruth, they played many less games. And their baseballs were not new on almost every pitch. They used some for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 innings, and those balls are kind of beat up. So, anyway, so that's in case you were wondering about the guy that caught the home run. Okay,
I need to send out. Warm thoughts and prayers for our good friend and musician who passed, and we are all reeling in the music community, Bernie Baker, who owned Bernie's Guitar for many, many years.
Bernie's
I'm sure
music,
you've been in
yeah.
there to rehearse, to buy instruments, and Bernie is a phenomenal player, and he's a part of my musical past. He and Bruce Kalin, Bernie's played on some concerts that I did at the Cascade, and Bernie played on the last album that I did with, it was just a trio. It was Bernie, Bruce Kalin, and myself. And we went in after we just had a summer of a lot of music. We did a lot of jazz out of U202. And then I would go in and I was doing a lot of work out of Wind River as well in Elements Lounge. So there was this probably a 2-year period of just a lot of gigs between those two places. And Bernie was ever a part of that, like a family member of somebody that you saw regularly and talked to regularly. And always, Bernie was a person that you could count on, you could go to for truth. He was a consummate gentleman, calm, collected, always showed up looking wonderful and clean and professional in everything he did. His chops were clean. His his, it was a very shy man, very much a family man, had a big family. And so, we, send prayers to the family and, you know, rest in peace, our friend Bernie. We're going to take a break. We're going to go right into messages right now.
Life is too short to be uninformed.
The Armstrong and Getty Show, 9 to noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Hello, Shasta County. Chris Kellstrom here once again. I'm running for District 5 Supervisor, and I'd be honored to earn your vote this November. I'm not a career politician, nor do I plan on ever becoming one. I am a common-sense Shasta County native who has over 40 years of customer service experience and a background in business management. I know how to get things done and treat people fairly. I will admit I lack political experience, but I consider that a good thing in this day and age of career politicians. The current man in the White House has decades of political experience, as do many of our so-called leaders in this state. Personally, I prefer common sense over political experience, and that's what I bring to the table. We have enough career politicians in this world, and I think serving in county politics should be one civic duty, not a career path or stepping stone to higher political office. I will push for term limits for the Board of Supervisors, and I'll refuse the retirement package on day one to prove my intentions. I believe we will get more done if a supervisor has only one or two terms in office instead of 20 years of empty promises. A vote for Chris Kellstrom is a vote for term limits. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
Have you just received your Starlink? Congratulations! Do you need help installing it? Look no further than your local satellite professionals. That's right, B&T Satellite. Call Doug and the whole team to set up your Starlink with the same customer service you've come to know. B&T Satellite will set up your Starlink and work with you to make the experience a pleasure for you. Call today and set up your time to install the new Starlink. You know, don't call the 800 number. Call 241-3474. That's B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at KCNR1460.com. Don't miss Armstrong and Getty, plus Ben Shapiro, and Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, featuring special guests talking about local issues on KCNR.
Just take those old records off the shelf.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, Thursday, October 6th, 7:19 in the morning, and it's about 58 degrees out there. And this portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. There is only hospital with the Da Vinci Xi surgical robotic system. Less pain, reduced risk, and faster recovery times at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. OPEC cuts oil production by 2 million barrels a day. The biggest cut since the start of the pandemic and a move that threatens to push gasoline prices higher just weeks before the U.S. midterm elections.
Hmm.
And Joe Biden has absolutely no power or the ability to do anything about it. The Biden administration criticized the OPEC decision in a statement calling it short-sighted and saying it will hurt low- and middle-income countries already struggling with elevated energy prices the most. And it's getting ready to be winter in Europe and here in the United States. And the cost of heating oil is going to go up. But the fact is that we in America are floating on an ocean of oil. Why isn't Biden encouraging and pushing to open up more oil fields and to get more oil produced and to put more refineries, to get a refinery built, and if it needs to have the government intervention to start getting refineries so our gas prices are not $6.59. Is it $6.59?
I'm not sure.
It's $6.59, right? A gallon out there? How much, Pat? How much is gas? $6.59? Yeah. It's not $5.79. Yeah. Is it $5.79 or six? I just filled up.
$5.79. Yeah.
Okay. It's $5.79 a gallon.
And who has a full tank right now? I kind of like, okay, I'm going to do 30. I'm going to do 40. But when you go into the 90s and the 100s, that's an ouchie.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are you with me on this or what?
It is. Let me get this. I just put $5.79 a gallon. But we're quickly approaching six, and there's places down in LA that it is well over $6 a gallon. So I guess we're lucky in that sense. We're not living, well, there's a lot of reasons we're lucky. But anyway, OPEC cutting this, announcing a two million barrels a day. They control more than 40% of the global oil production, are hoping to preempt a drop in demand for their barrels from a sharp economic slowdown in China, the United States, and Europe. Part of the slowdown, of course, is that we're going through a recession right now. It has met the definition of recession that we've used for years and years, two quarters where the economy is dropping, and it's done that. Now they're coming up with new definitions. Oh no, we're not reset. Well, I just know this, is that your salary, the value of your salary has dropped something like 8% in a year. Under Joe Biden, gas prices have skyrocketed. Under Joe Biden, inflation has set in. Under Joe Biden, all of these things, under Joe Biden and a Democrat Congress, it's all happened. And in California with a one-party system, we're getting hammered not only by the feds, but then the state Democrats are hammering us more. Over a dollar in gas taxes. They could have suspended that for a while if they wished. No, we don't need to do that. They, of course, drive free, our representatives. Perhaps if they had to pay for their own gas, they may take a look at it differently. But they don't, because it's just one of the perks of being an elected official in Sacramento. What a bunch of dolts. Yeah, dolts. I could say idiots, but dolts sounds better. It sounds more middle ages, which is where they're stuck.
Are you on a negative?
No, I am not on a negative. I'm just tired. I am just tired like probably the vast majority of Americans, be you Democrat or Republican. I am tired of stupid decisions at the top. I am tired of prices going up that when you leave for 2 weeks and you come back and the price for this one loaf of bread has gone up $2.
Yep.
I am tired of that. I'm tired where you spend $100 on groceries and it comes out in one bag. And I'm not talking meat products, which is another thing. The state of California has caused the price of eggs and now pork. Pork's going to go berserk. With the law that pigs have to have this much room. And they're big reason is, they're putting pregnant pigs, hogs, in a very small pen. Well, the reason they do that is when they have the babies, they have a tendency to roll over and crush the babies. So they have to restrict their movements, but you don't see that in these barnyard pieces that are written by people because they've never been on a farm. They've never been around pigs. Alameda County had an initiative to ban all spurs, flank straps, and like four other things in the county, which essentially would have impacted on, and ropes, and roping, and, you know, and which would have impacted on all their citizens. They were talking about, oh, it's rodeos. Well, then they came back and said that they are not going to even take that up. The outcry from the citizens of Alameda County. But to get to that level where, it's they shouldn't put a flank strap on a horse or a bull. It's, you know what, there are law after law, thousands of laws that are put on the books every year. They don't, even when they vote on it, they don't even know what's in them. That is ludicrous. They got one bill and they put a whole new bill under the original bill's number. And then they vote on it in the middle of the night in Sacramento and pass it. They don't even know what's in it. Yes, I am a little bit jaundiced by
that. All right,
let's
talk about
morning.
Something
so let's
fun.
Talk,
okay,
I'll
thank
let,
you.
You know what? Why don't you take this
okay,
over?
Okay, so.
Or, you know, I'm going to keep going on
yeah,
this
please,
one.
You're gutting us out. So a Michigan man said a phone call from a friend tipped him off to the fact that he had won $271,601 lottery jackpot. Yeah, this Bay County man told Michigan lottery officials he bought his Fantasy Five ticket for the September 7th drawing from Larry's Corner Lounge and Pinconning. The man said the ticket remained in his truck until the day after the drawing. I got a call from my coworker the day after the drawing asking me if I had bought a ticket at Larry's, the player recalled. He told me a jackpot winning the ticket had been bought at the store, so I went running to my truck to grab my ticket. Look at my ticket over, and I couldn't believe I was holding the winner. The man's ticket matched all five numbers in the drawing, which were 14, 19, 21, 34, 36.
That's the ones I always
Sidebar. Do you pick out specific numbers or do you quick pick? I quick pick. Well, and you know what? When you think about what can I get this person? What can I get? Buy up $5 in lottery quick pick tickets. That's always fun to give somebody because what if they win?
What if they win? So you just gave away a $2 million jackpot.
Doesn't matter. You don't know that.
You don't
so
care.
That's the beauty in it. So
well, no, you would know it when they come in and they say, oh, you know that lotto ticket you gave me? I just won $2 million.
Well, so
And I'm going on this great vacation. Thank you so much
for
giving me that ticket.
I would not expect. Let me just tell you something. A gift is a gift, and I've learned this the hard way.
That's true.
Because I do happen to have family members that give things and then say, oh, you know the thing I gave you 10 years ago? I really like to have that back.
That's
and the gut wrench begins. The gut wrench begins because,
that's happened to you.
There's a guilt trip on that thing. Anyway, so I don't know. Maybe other people experienced this before. Yes.
You had a member of your family after 10 years ask
you
for something
I really like that.
Back.
What do you mean you gave that up? What do you mean you got rid of that? You know, like as you're cleaning stuff out and you're thinking, I don't use this anymore. I'll pass it on.
Now that's different.
What do you mean you gave that out?
That
it's not like it's not like it's a treasure. It could be a tool. It could be a, I don't know, a thing.
I know.
Like a
I know
little
it,
piece of like a side table. Anyway,
I do know when this happened.
The man's
right.
Ticket matched all five numbers again, earning him $271,601 jackpot. Thanks for the chucks. We needed that. The winner said his prize money will go toward paying bills and giving a boost to his savings. So like, you know what? Cool. That's the kind of stuff we like to hear, you know.
So how many of you are out there sitting on lotto tickets that well, I know I can't win. You know, on the big ones, if you don't win because you don't have all the numbers, but if you have like five of the numbers, you can still score money on it.
Yeah.
But you don't think about it. I mean, I looked on this little box on my dresser the other day. There's like four lotto tickets, but they were all like a year old or two
well,
years old.
Well, another story.
So well beyond the time.
So a South Carolina man said he was about to buy a lottery ticket when he suddenly changed his mind, bought a different ticket. and won $200,000. He said that he was about to buy a scratch-off lottery ticket from Circle K. This is in Mount Pleasant, where a $5 play ticket caught his eye. Something told me to grab that ticket instead, he said. That something turned out to be a lucky impulse when the first number of the play scratched off earned him. And I've never played scratch-off. I know it's a big deal. Now, tonight... I've got Shelley Levy on, and whenever we buy a lottery ticket, we go to Tobacco and Brew. They have every kind you could possibly imagine, and I want to talk with her tonight about that business, besides the fact that she sells all kinds of wonderful things in her store, Tobacco and Brew, on Hilltop. But, like, what does it take as far as insurance, to being cleared by the California law, to be able to sell lottery tickets, and what kind of... How much of her business generates from people walking in just to buy a lottery ticket? So I think that's interesting.
Do you know what I'm thinking about?
Break.
I'm thinking about sleeping at night.
Yes.
I'm thinking if you're trying to go to sleep at night, if it's too warm and it's too cold, you know, sometimes you have a little bit of a problem. If you take a warm shower before bed, eat cooling foods
like
on
it.
Warmer nights.
Like it.
Stay
it.
Well hydrated by drinking lots of water. Reassess your nighttime apparel to match the temperature outside. Well, that's easy to do. So most people say that one of them sleeps colder than the other. And if you're really lucky in life like us, we love the same temperature at night in the
cold
in the bedroom. And sleep number. Sleep number affords you a number of things besides just the bed. They have bedding that is cooler. They have
pillows,
sheets, they have the sheets,
everything
at Sleep Number. And Sleep Number has done so many studies to show that you get a better night's sleep on a Sleep Number bed. On our Sleep Number bed, each one of us has a different firmness that we sleep on that enables us to sleep better. My Sleep Number setting last night was 50.
And mine was 33.
Well, no.
Well, it's 30.
Yes, mm-hmm. 33. It can be 35,
okay.
But not 33.
Well, it has like little digits that go up between the increments. So I call
Why
it 33.
Why choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because it's your best. You to be at your best every day, you have to have a great night's sleep. And that's on Sleep Number. And now don't miss Sleep Number's special introductory offer on the new Climate 360 Smart Bed. Only at Sleep Number stores over in the shopping center. Our Sleep Number store is over there by the vitamin shop. Go on in, lay on the beds. Let them show you how buying a Sleep Number bed will totally enhance your ability to sleep at night. We'll be right back.
Friend of mine, take it easy. Take it easy. Don't let the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy.
I'm Max Steiner, the Democratic candidate for Congress here in CD1. I am a combat veteran and a political moderate. I am pro-timber, pro-gun, pro-choice, and pro-America. I am not a typical woke Democrat, and I am not a career politician. My legislative priorities as your representative would cut across party lines. We need to protect the fundamentals of our democracy. We must reduce fire risk by thinning our forests, strengthening the timber industry, and hiring more firefighters. We need to build more dams to reduce the impacts of climate change. We should codify Roe v. Wade into law. Finally, we must ensure security abroad with a strong military and security at home with strong police forces. We need to make big changes in Washington. If we keep voting for the incumbents, nothing will ever change. We need politicians who will put principles over party, politicians who will say no to the far left and the far right. We need politicians who will truly put America first. In November, I would be honored to earn your vote.
Whether it's harvest theme or Halloween, decorate your home for the fall with Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson. Mix and match antique, shabby chic, and farmhouse furniture with vintage holiday decor. There's lots of Halloween decorations to choose from, plus clothing and costume jewelry, including earrings, necklaces, pins, and rings. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson.
K243 CT Reading. The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. This portion of the show brought to you by River Commons Senior Living. Hey, you know that this is not an assisted living facility. This is for active seniors, you know, and they've got beautiful, beautiful accommodations there. Maybe you've had enough of trying to take care of a large house and all these things. It's time to scale down. Why not scale down to a really nice place? It's pet friendly. You don't have to worry about cooking every day. They have a gourmet chef that provides just outstanding meals there. There's other people there around your age group if you want to join in on activities, or you don't have to. It's a great place to kind of spike out from. You know, you have your safe, you'll have all your stuff there. It's pleasant. The atmosphere is pleasant. And to see what I mean, arrange a personalized tour today with Brian. Give him a call at 530-238-5981. Just say, hey, Carl said to come on over and take, and to get a tour of River Commons Senior Living and have lunch and see what the place is really about. It's a great place. It's Northern California's premier retirement community. River Commons Senior Living, right downtown on Hartnell Avenue. Okay. You didn't like the headlines there, huh? America is, what was that? America is stockpiling anti-radiation
drugs.
Yeah,
that's scary. I mean, that headline gave me fright. Gave me a fright.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, because, you know, every now and then I'll turn on the headlines and it's like anything else, you know, that each agency will, you know, if it, you know, bleeds, it leads. So you'll, there's things that are twisted, made to be different. They're headlines to grab your attention, and every agency will have its own twist. So anyway, USA stockpiles anti-radiation drugs. This is, of course, on the Drudge Report. I go around a lot of things, but you know that that's probably one of the darkest of the ones that I look at, which of course is why that probably says that. Now, if I were to go on something like, let's do NPR.
I don't know. I don't know if you saw during the Rams game, this protester. On Monday Night Football, came running out in the field. And he was like, he had smoke on him or something. I'm not sure. He runs on the field during the San Francisco 49ers Monday Night home game against the Rams, and Los Angeles linebacker Bobby Wagner just levels him. I mean, he didn't, you know, start from 20 feet away and, you know, and separate him from his teeth or anything like that. Just knocked him down.
Mm.
Well, it appears that the protester there has filed a police report that he was assaulted by Los Angeles linebacker Bobby Wagner. I heard about what it is. I heard about it, but it is what it is. It's behind me. I ain't really focused on it. I'm more concerned about the security guard that was hurt trying to chase him. We don't know what that pink smoke is. We just got to do what you got to do. He flattened the protest and ran across the field and toward the Rams stadium while waving a device emitting pink smoke before halftime at the game. And Wagner subdued the guy when he knocked him down, who had eluded security during the run. You know, I can understand that. Some guy comes running out on the field carrying a smoking device like that. And this has happened before. They've had people run out on the field and players have knocked them down or tackled them. There's no spot for that.
An interesting article about how, you know, sometimes, we pretty much kind of stay who we are. But this is a research that I'm going to NPR and asking about if they talk about anything about, like, you know, people buying these anti-radiation drugs, which freaks me out. You know, talks about typically major personality traits remain fairly stable throughout life, with most change happening in young adulthood or when stressful personal life events occur. It's rare to see population-wide personalities shift even after stressful events. But in a new study in the journal, PLOS-1, psychologists found that in the wake of the pandemic, found a small counterintuitive change in personality early in the pandemic. They found a decrease in neuroticism, the personality trait associated with stress and negative emotions. In the current study, they were curious if they would find different personality changes in the second and third year of the pandemic. And they did. So my question would be for our listeners, you know that after 9/11, what we felt as a country, well, the world felt it too because it was the World Trade Center. But that was a feeling of, for the first time in our country, maybe since in our current times, I don't know how people felt in World War II, but that never happened on our soil. So this happened in New York City. And how we felt, or I can only personally testify how I felt. But with the pandemic, it was global. I mean, you know, we were in Italy recently. A lot of people weren't wearing masks. They weren't mandated.
Most people, the vast majority, were not wearing masks.
But it was in Italy that generations in towns, like, let's say, hypothetically, Spatello, generations, a whole older generation died. A majority is what I want to say of those towns in those little towns where they just were dropping like flies and stacking the bodies.
Italy was hammered by.
So with all of those visuals that we saw during COVID and experiencing what it was to be shut down, what do we do with our kids? We've had One Safe Place on there, the uptick in what happened with domestic violence. The list goes on, and now we're, even though we're unmasked and we're out, we still are looking, they're talking about another shot. And how things are now with, the prices when it comes to our gases and, we're in this stressful thing right now, but it's talking about in this particular article, which, you know, long-term personality change or short-term shock. Which one is it? Do you still feel that people have this knee-jerk reaction or this, outburst of what happens when they start talking about either politics or the politics of COVID?
Well, I kind of look at COVID like it was a total overreaction by the government and many people. It was a serious condition that many people died from, but the overreaction that was foisted on us has led to many, many, side effects that are going to go on for years and, you know, from schools and kids and the economy and so many things. However, yeah, it was serious. But it's been over 2.5 years, right? And so what's happened? Well, frankly, people have taken COVID as being part of their life, like the flu. Hey, you can be vaccinated. We've got the new vaccination. If you choose to get the vaccination, get the vaccination. After all this time, I was diagnosed with COVID. know, before we left on, you know, before we left it, you know, I had to go in, I voluntarily went into quarantine for 4 days because, you know, if I did have, and I never did, okay, I didn't believe I had it, but they said I had it. Okay, I'll play your game because it had no impact on me.
But and it could have.
It could have.
On but others.
On others. So I took those 4 days, right. Took the test at the end of it. I was then negative.
It was actually 5.
Okay, 5 days. And then was negative. But still, the thing is you're right. There are people that are, will suffer from what happened during this COVID for a generation. Or they will have PTSD of some kind. They'll have some kind of post-traumatic, you know, events going. But now people pretty much in the United States have said, okay, COVID. And they're past it. And even President Biden said it's over. The COVID crisis is over. And then proceeds to still kick out thousands of military who didn't get the shot. Okay, hey, we're going to take a quick break. Thinking about purchasing an electric car? Reading Electric Utility has rebates available that can help offset the cost of your vehicle and charging station. Visit cityofreading.org/EV for more information about local, state, and federal rebates available. It's 7:46 in the morning, and it's about 58 degrees out there here on the 6th of October. And at 8 o'clock, we're going to have our debate between for District 1 supervisor between Kevin Cry and Aaron Reznor. We'll be right back.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Axiom Repertory Theater wants to thank the Rancheria for their generous grant to help support the arts and our theater in the community. Thank you so much for being a wonderful partner.
Hey, from all of us at Riddick Sports Club, we want to thank Reading Rancheria for all that you guys do for the community and for helping us out. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here again. I am running for District 5 Supervisor, and I'd be honored to earn your vote. District 5 includes Anderson, Cottonwood, Shingletown, and now Happy Valley. The one thing all these areas have in common is water issues, or better yet, the lack of water. The ACID canal is empty for the first time ever, and this has caused an environmental nightmare for the South County. Wells are going dry, ponds and creeks are drying up, fields and pastures have been destroyed. Happy Valley has been facing water shortages and severe cutbacks for a few years now, and in Shingletown, Grace and Nora Lakes have been drained, plus their water storage project has been held up over government red tape and regulations. Mark Twain once said, whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting over. Shasta County needs a fighter who will fight for the people and stand between the citizens and government overreach and red tape regulations. Water is the lifeblood of the earth, and I will fight for that lifeblood for Shasta County. I'm Chris Kellstrom, and I would be honored to earn your vote. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
Thirty years ago, Simpson University arrived in Reading with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
From our family at Market Street, Blade and Barrel, thank you, Reading Rancheria, for all you do. You guys rock the community. Thanks again. See you soon.
From the family of Trendies, we want to thank Reading Rancheria for all you have done for the businesses of the community of Reading. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlize Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlize Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlize will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlize today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlize Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlize Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlize Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlize Tap House and Mobile Catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlize Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlize Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
We started singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the
and good morning and welcome to our morning show here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. This is your talk radio, KCNR1460.com. You can stream. And for those who are looking at us on our... I'm waving to the camera. I don't know if you can see me. I'm in black. Okay.
In fact, Sungold said you look elegant.
Well, oh. Did you really? Thank you. Anyway, thank you, and we love Sungold. Okay.
This portion of the show brought to you by Patrick Gorman, attorney at law. If you're not getting treatment for a work injury because of denials, give Patrick Gorman a call at 530-262-2168. Today for a free consultation. Hey, insurance companies have lots of lawyers. You need somebody that's going to fight for you that understands worker comp laws. And Patrick Gorman thoroughly understands the laws and what you rate, what you deserve if you've been injured while at work. So give him a call, 530-262-2168.
I'm going to give the weather, because let's do everything that we usually would do at the top of the hour, because we're going to go right into news.
We've changed that format. We're going to do the news. Instead of starting right at 8 o'clock, we're going to do the news to 8:05. And the reason that is so I can get everybody in here seated, and we go over the rules one more time. And if you're wondering rules in the debate, we'll go over those with everybody at one time.
Right. Okay. And then, we are going to be live here. I believe it's the first time I've been here where, you know, questions are going to be asked. Carl's got a list of questions, and then they are going to debate.
Six questions.
And we, because this is our home, there will be civility. So don't be knocking on the door or walking in and calling, because it's all going to just happen right here. We want you to tune in.
You can get in the chat room.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so today it's 64 degrees in the downtown studios. Looks like we're going to have around 93 this morning, or today, our highs, sunny, and mostly clear tonight with overnights of 63. Tomorrow, hot, 97. Clear skies with overnight lows of 62. Saturday, 95. Sunday, 94. And Columbus Day is Monday, or some of you may call it Indigenous Day. Whatever works for you, day, will be a 93. So the weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. So we're going to just, when we get into the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to go to the news and right into, our debate with questions and so on and so forth.
I don't know.
Are there any last things you need to talk about in the next 7 minutes that you feel like?
I was getting ready to.
All right. Do it.
May I have your permission?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Move.
Okay. I don't know if you watch football, and I watch football occasionally, but the Miami Dolphins quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, just got hammered several weeks ago, and then in the game was hit again. And when he got up, he was staggering and then collapsed.
Ooh.
And so this has really looked in, you know, this has really been a, and this guy is a, you know, a young man. He's, top ranked, one of the top draft choices. And he was, I mean, just collapsed out there. And so they have protocols and procedures for concussions in, you know,
right,
in the NFL. Ever since they discovered repeated blows to the head, imagine that, can cause problems.
Oh, no. We've seen that they've
It's called chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
Right. And it can cause violence.
It can cause violence because it changes your breath.
Right.
It changes your brain. It changes things that happen in it. Anyway, the NFL just fired the doctors in charge of that program and getting somebody else in here. And what it is, it's a cumulative effect of concussions. And some of them are minor concussions. I've been concussed before. It can be a severe one. And enough so that there's been players been forced to retire when they've had 3 years in a row that they've had their bells rung that much. And it has caused the death, years later of players who have, who suffered from this. The closest thing that I've seen, in the military was traumatic brain injury where you're hit with an IED or, something like this where you don't have a physical wound on you, but your brain got bounced around inside your skull. Mm-hmm. And it causes several types of injuries in there. But you can't see it. You've got to test for it.
Right.
It's not just being knocked unconscious, which is what happens.
Which is, I'm sure, happens
in most cases
with many athletes or people who are doing a kind of physical activity. And I think about the guy down who is the concrete digger. I mean, you can't tell me after studies that the guy who's doing
using the jackhammer?
Yeah, that does not affect so many parts of his body and brain, or her, she or he, or they.
Or they. Moving on from there, an opinion was in the, not by the Reading Searchlight's editorial board, but somebody from Cal Trout wrote something in there about the water situation in California. And it's interesting because a recent decision by the California 6th District Court of Appeals said that, he says, shows everything that's wrong with California's water law. The ruling blocks the state Water Resources Control Board to reduce water deliveries to a group of water districts. People have had water rights since before the pre-1914 water rights. Their family had the rights to the water, riparian rights and all this. And the court said, hey, you have no right to take their water. Well, in this opinion piece, what they're advocating is that water be redistributed on an equity and an equity basis so that everybody can swim, fish can thrive. But he didn't mention agriculture except in a group of pre-1914 water rights holders, primarily agricultural water districts, had challenged the curtailment orders. Now, what happened was, if you want to just take something that's really close to home, the state took away our water allotment for the Anderson Cottonwood Irrigation District, and there was no water in the ditch this year. None. And the impact it's had on people. And if they do it again next year, what happens then? What happens if they don't have water? And this guy is saying, well, that's just too bad. You know what? He said it was based on, of course, racial reasons that they got the water, back in 1914, big business. And, it was thoroughly a liberal hit piece on it. But what it does tell you is that the state's coming after our water and they're coming after big time. They want to take away your rights that you've had for well over a century in many cases and redistribute the water to where they think it should be, and not what you've owned, taking your property from you. California. I asked somebody yesterday, are you going to stay in California when you retire? And the answer was, nope. I'm moving. And you heard it. I'm moving.
Yep.
Because, I've just had enough. So here's somebody that
pillar of the community.
Here's somebody that's lived and worked here a long time, and he's ready to He's had it. He's ready to go. As have many. There's no doubt in my mind. At some point, you and I are going to probably leave California. As much as we love Redding, it'll come to a point where we just say, enough is enough. I can't pay $7 a gallon gas. I can't pay more to the state in taxes when they keep giving it away and giving it away. It's time to move.
But meanwhile, can we just bring our head back into what we're doing right now?
And the debate
starts.
We're
going to be debating. You're going to be hearing a live debate about what we can do right now. All we can do right now is to be able to, A, start with yourself, controlling yourself. B is being kind and considerate to your neighbor, to your people you work with. And it bubbles out from there. And so we've got people that are willing to put their hats in the ring to run for city council, to run for supervisor, to run for things that really affect us on a local level. And here we go.
Okay. And the answer is yes. Max Steiner was on our show. One day it was the Max Steiner show. He was on for 2 hours, Philip. Okay. We will be right back after the news.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
His pleas not to cut back on its oil output, President Biden is set to make a move that many fear will further jeopardize national security. His advisors say the president will withdraw more crude from the nation's emergency oil stockpile.
The strategic petroleum oil reserves are at a 40-year low due to the Biden administration's efforts to shrink gas prices ahead of the midterm elections. Now, the president says he will release even more barrels, 10 million this month, as OPEC announces it will make its biggest cut in production in more than 2 years. Earlier this week, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said there were no plans to continue releases from the strategic reserve after a six-month release of 1 million barrels a day. The president has released 160 million barrels of crude since March. Tayshia Stevens reporting.
And the U.S. Oil and Gas Association says there's only one option left for the administration, and that is the U.S.-based oil and gas industry. It's an option that the trade group says the Biden team should never have rejected in the first place. It's the sound of progress in Florida. Heavy equipment being deployed to clear the mountains of debris left by Hurricane Ian. Governor Ron DeSantis says power and water are being restored, but it will take time, especially in the hardest hit areas.
Concrete utility poles snapped in half. I saw a lot of places where the lines were totally down.
The governor's remarks aired by WZVN-TV. More Americans filed for unemployment benefits last week. Applications rose 29,000, hitting 219,000. And the government will release the September employment report tomorrow. Watching Wall Street, the Dow is down 110 points, the Nasdaq off 6 points, and the S&P trading 10 points lower. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 3388 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 3388. Enjoy.
The sprawling Xinjiang region is the latest area of China to be hit with sweeping COVID travel restrictions.
Trains and buses in and out of the region of 22 million people have been suspended as China further tightens control measures. Likewise, passenger numbers on flights have been reduced to 75% capacity. A notice from the regional government said the measures were enacted to strictly prevent the risk of spillover of the virus, but gave no other details. The new restrictions come ahead of a key Communist Party Congress later this month. I'm Karen Chamas.
Every gesture counts, the watchword of a French government energy-saving drive aimed at getting the country through the winter without gas from Russia and closer to European Union targets of reaching climate neutrality by the year 2050. The French drive for so-called energy sobriety dovetails with other energy-saving efforts taking root all across Europe. Townhall.com. California water agencies that rely on the parched Colorado River say they're willing to cut their use by about one-tenth.
The four agencies laid out their proposal in a Wednesday letter to the U.S. Department of the Interior. It marks the first time the agencies are publicly saying what they'd be willing to give up since the federal government called for reductions this summer. Drought is diminishing the river, which provides about one-third of Southern California's urban water and is the only source of water for farms in the Imperial Valley. California is legally entitled to more water than any other state and is the last to lose it in times of shortage. Keith Peters reporting.
In Thailand, a former police officer killed at least two dozen youngsters and 11 adults in a gun and knife attack. It began in a child care center. Police say the attacker fled the first scene, shooting from his car as he drove home before killing his wife and child and then taking his own life. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. And today it's going to be debate radio. We are preempting the rest of the show so that we may have a debate between District 1 supervisor candidates Aaron Reznor and Kevin Cry. And it's we have a rules. They've all seen the rules. Essentially, it's going to be given questions that I've made up. And with the help of other people, of course, and that to allow the candidates to talk about issues and what they would do. The main thing I'm looking for, of course, and I'm sure everybody else is the fact that we need our candidates or our elected officials to have a grasp of the issues, but also to tell us how they're going to achieve something, which is not always easy. So I'd like to welcome today Kevin Cry. And Aaron Reznor, let's just do a sound check here. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay. And how many minutes do each, the questions, let's talk about that. Each person gets, when should the questions are asked?
They have 2 minutes to introduce themselves, a series of questions. Each candidate will then have 3 minutes to address the topic. Their opponent has one, I hate to use the word opponent. The other candidate then has 1 minute of rebuttal, and then the original speaker has a minute to answer the rebuttal. If you wish to take it, there's going to be a 2 minute break at the 30 minute mark, and then finish up, and with a final being that they are going to have a couple minutes to tell you why you should vote for them.
So, are we taking a 15 minute break and a 30 minute break? Well, I'm just asking.
I just said it, 30 minutes.
Okay, well, let's just revisit it.
Okay. All right. Aaron, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. Can you give us a brief synopsis of Aaron Reznor?
Yeah.
2 minutes.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us. I think that this is a really unique venue for us to get to participate
in. This is unique. Thank you very much for that. We did this several years ago and never did it again, and I can't remember why.
Okay, so let's hear about you.
Thank you for being with us.
Well, I like that you felt like we were good candidates to bring in and to start it again. I am Aaron Reznor. I am a local wife, mother, and business owner. I'm a former mayor of Reading and a current member of the Reading City Council. I really deeply care about our community, which is why in 2018 I decided to run for city council. And honestly, it's why it is that for the last 18 years, my husband and I, via our spare time and our business Dutch Rose, that we have cared to give back to our community. We've been really blessed to live here, and we care, and we're invested. It's hard to do business in the state of California and to be a business owner. And I think that especially in the last 3 years that there has been just so much strife and so much division. And I think that we can move our community forward. And I think that I have the experience and the skills necessary to solve some of our, or to help solve. I don't think that one person can do it on their own, but to help solve some of our difficult issues.
Okay. Thank you. Next candidate, of course, Kevin Cry. Kevin, take just 2 minutes to introduce yourself.
Please. Sounds good. Well, my name's Kevin Cry. I've lived in Shasta County a little over 40 years. I've been married to my beautiful and ever-patient wife, Sarah, for nearly 23 years this December. We have 3 amazing kids, and I've been a champion of kids and small business since I graduated from Anderson High School in 1994. You know, 3 things that I learned at a very young age that have served me, I think, really well has been the ability to admit that I don't know something. and also being able to admit when I'm wrong. And lastly, having the ability to say I'm sorry when it needs to be said. And some of those tough times, you have to do all three at once. So one thing I'd like to do is start out and just tell my opponent that I apologize that I never thanked her for the kind things she said about me when she announced her candidacy on January 28th. And I brought it because I didn't want to misrepresent. So I brought the paper in. But she said, and I quote, I think that he is a great guy. And I think we've known each other from afar for a while. And we have respect and kindness. Both of us have said that we will run respectful and we'll conduct ourselves with a level of class through this. And I think that's important because I think this opportunity for us to discuss real issues and get answers that people in District 1 and in our great county deserve and want. So I appreciate the opportunity from you guys both to provide us the opportunity to have this discourse because this is our first debate in a year, a real debate and not a forum. And I'm thankful for that. So thank you, everybody, for being here.
Okay. We'll start with our first question, Aaron. And we're going to alternate so you don't get the first one every time. So the Shasta County budget is approximately $599,364,044.
Approximately.
Well, this is what they said.
Yeah, it's roughly $600 million.
Yeah. Do you support a zero-based budget process where each department has to explain and defend all positions and the money needed yearly?
I think that it's really important. I think that it's difficult to understand when most people come into politics who have worked in the private sector, the difference in government budgeting. It's similar to nonprofits who work mostly in terms of grants. That's a very different sort of process. My opponent and I both run businesses and for us, you don't typically spend, you don't spend money prior to that coming in. We know what it is that our revenue is coming in and what our bottom line looks like. I think it's really important to take the time for each department to explain why it is that they're needing each of those expenses, because I think that the why is really important in that decision-making process. One of the things that I think that the county could do better that we have done at the city is that we hold budget workshops. So we hold budget workshops and we talk about each department and we discuss why it is and that department head presents why it is that they need those certain things. They explain what they need, what they don't need. It gives opportunities for, in this case, it would be the Board of Supervisors to ask them about specific topics or for us to say, these are the topics which matter to us, or this is what we would like to change in your budget. But it also allows the community an opportunity to sit and engage in that process, to give feedback, to have their voices heard. And I think that's one of the parts and one of the things that government routinely just really stinks at. Government, they do a poor job at communication, and I think that they need to do a better job at communication. I think that we at the city have started to do that. I know that we have hired a new PIO at the county, and so I'm hoping that they're doing and that they will start, we will start seeing a better engagement and communication about what's going on. But in my opinion, I think the most important thing is to hold some of those workshops so that the community understands what's going on in the budget, because it can be difficult to understand. No, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just telling you, you have a minute left.
Yeah,
you want to expand on that. So no, the idea of having a zero-based budget each year.
I think that it's extremely important that that we have budgeted for our finances, that we have predicted, any further out than about 6 years is a little bit of pie in the sky. But I think that it's really important that we know exactly what our expenses are going to be, and that we're budgeting well and that we're adjusting well, because I think that that part is also really important. And I think that we've done a good job at the city, and I think that the county could continue to do a better job also.
Okay. Kevin.
So my answer, you have
a minute
question.
You have a minute to rebut that, or?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things, I mean, I feel like the question wasn't answered clearly. I feel like my opponent kind of danced around and didn't answer it directly. One thing I know is the city has spent an enormous amount of money, $200 million downtown as an example, and we don't have retail space still. I mean, we have retail space, but there's really a lot of vacancies there. One of the questions I would ask my opponent in that is when there's opportunities to improve the lives of people in Shasta County, like the $12 million federal highway funds that were spent on the roundabout instead of spending them on roads, fixing them down off of Lake Boulevard where they're greatly needed, or in the Garden Tract where they're greatly needed. We spent money to help a private business, and we can talk about spurring growth, but I think what the community wants to know is, are we going to have supervisors that are going to stick up for what people need right now and put growth aside and steward and shepherd the money we already have?
Okay, thank you. And Aaron?
I think that it's really important when we're discussing numbers to be discussing where it is that those funds are actually coming from. So for clarity, the $200 million in building and in development that has happened in downtown, that state funding... The funding and the 200 that came from the courthouse and from the McConnell and K2 developments, and what used to be the old Dickers building, a majority of that money is state funding. And I actually think that that's a really good opportunity for us to take funding that's happening outside at the state level and to come in and to bring it into our specific community to do things that are really incredible. Also, I think it's really important to know and to discuss with those people who are doing those developments why it is that there are actual vacancies and what their plan is for marketing and why it is that they're holding out.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you both. Okay. You know why. I'll explain it later. Second question to Kevin. The Yasid Canal was empty this year for the first time in over 100 years. What solutions would you propose as a supervisor to ensure this doesn't happen again?
I think the most important thing that we realize is what's happened down in the ACID district is unprecedented. So anybody that says they know or had the answer or had the forethought to see what was coming is absolutely wrong. There's not a water rights person alive that has told me or has said on record that this situation has happened before. What has to happen right now is we have to make sure that people's wells get some water, because we can't have 2 years of this. If we have 2 years of this, this is absolutely going to destroy District 5. It's already destroyed some homes and fields and, you know, over 100-year oak trees that are just gone. Those aren't coming back. And this fight should have been started years and years ago, but it wasn't. That's why I think it is so important that elected leaders aren't dealing with the hand they're dealt, but they're looking way in advance of what's possibly coming and be able to stand in that gap.
You have another minute?
I'm good.
Okay. Aaron.
Yeah.
You have a minute. To solve this water crisis, I know, but
it is a water crisis, and I don't think that any of those ranchers, farmers, landowners in that area were prepared for that. I don't think that there has been the communication back and forth with the Bureau of Reclamation to advocate on our behalf. I sit on the Enterprise Groundwater Sustainability Agency, and one of the things that we were tasked with in the last year was that we had to come up with what our planning was. What was our sustainability plan in terms of groundwater, in terms of wells? What do our aquifers look like? How much water do we take out? And in all honesty, we stand really well in terms of groundwater within Shasta County. However, there are state mandates of what it is that, and maybe I should just say there are government, overarching government entities that regulate what it is that we're allowed to take out, which is a big fight. And water in California is going to continue to be a very large fight.
Well, let me follow up a little bit on this. And
I like you're going sideways, Carl.
Huh?
I said I like you're just going sideways.
I am going sideways on this. Kevin, this was unprecedented, this what happened in the acid. And is there... What do you think the Board of Supervisors can do specifically? I mean, how could you address this? And I'll give you a minute on this, and I'll go back to
Well,
Aaron.
Am I not going to get my minute to go? Okay, well, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. You're right. I'm sorry. We started. Yeah. She had her minute. Have your minute.
What I think we have to look at is we have to look at records of what people have done in office, not what they say they're going to do. I would ask my opponent, in opportunities like this, when it talks about bringing people together, You know, at some point I want to discuss working with government agencies such as the tribe and what happened there. If people aren't able to follow the law and follow protocols as it relates to water, what faith do constituents in District 1 or in Shasta County have in their elected leaders if they're not following the law? So that's a question I want to be able to ask. I want to ask how voters can have that confidence when my opponent has proven in office that it doesn't matter what the law is. She's going to do what she sees best.
Okay. Our next question to Aaron. The Board of Supervisors used to meet weekly, except for a specific vacation period. It will meet 28 times this year. Would you support meeting on a weekly basis? Why or why not? It used to be.
As a person who is extremely busy and has lots of businesses, I don't believe in meeting just to meet. So I think that it's extremely important that the community have access to their elected officials at all times, that things are discussed in public, and that topics are able to be brought forward. So I don't think that I would support meeting simply to meet, because I don't think that that is a solid use of resources. When there is a Board of Supervisors meetings, you will see that many of the department heads are sitting in that meeting, which means that we're paying them to sit in a meeting rather than paying them to be out in their departments doing work. So I would support more frequent meetings. I would support evening meetings. I would support holding more workshops. I think that the county could do a much better job of involving the public in that sort of way. But I don't know that I could blanketly say I would support a weekly meeting every time, because I don't think that if there's not content to be discussed and decisions to be made, I don't want to waste anybody's time.
Okay. So you would do it on a, if I understand this right, and I'm using part of your time here because you got another 2 minutes.
Yeah, go ahead.
The old system from years ago was meeting every week. So yeah. Now they're meeting, and there are times when it's 3 or 4 weeks between meetings, month. So you're saying is you could have 4 meetings a month or a meeting weekly if there were topics.
Yeah, if content.
So you're basing it on what's going on right then.
Yeah, the work. So sometimes you offer staff and you say, hey, this is the direction in which that we would like you to go. Sometimes that takes a while for them to come back and do that. And I don't think that necessarily it is valuable time for us to sit in a meeting and say, yes, we're still working on that project. Yes, we're still working on that one. I would like it for them to bring back when they have things that we can actually mull over and make decisions on. Because routinely those conversations of check-ins should be happening by Board of Supervisors members with those department heads, because that's their job in the interim, and then meeting in front of the public so that they can actually present decisions or present actual facts and for us to make decisions on.
Okay. Thank you. Kevin, you have a minute?
Yeah. So I mean this with all due respect to my opponent. This is the issue. It's a yes or no question. It's not a 2-minute answer. It's a yes. You meet every week. It's a $600 million budget. And you touched on it at the beginning. It's access to the constituents. People want to see the supervisors. They want to talk to them. They want to maybe air grievances. The people that elect us should have complete access to us every single week. So I would encourage my opponent to answer the questions without a roundabout answer. And it's yes or no. That was a yes or no question. Yes, we should meet every week. There's plenty to discuss. And if there isn't a lot to discuss, guess what? We show up for the people that elected us, and we're accessible to them. That's what this is all about.
Okay, thank you. Aaron, you have a minute.
I think that it's important to be honest. I think that it's really, really important to be honest and to be open. And I think that in those board chambers are not the only way in which that an elected leader is accessible. Those are answering social media. Those are answering emails. Those are answering phone calls. Those are being available in your office. Those are taking meetings out in the community and listening to the actual people in one-on-one, not sitting from a dais and making rulings.
Okay. Let me reset here. Kevin, there's been, I think everybody's recognized, there's been some animosity during the board meetings between board members, but also in the community within the past 2 years, maybe a little bit longer. What will you do specifically to calm the waters?
Well, I think very, is this a 2 minute or 1 minute?
This is a 3 minute.
Oh, so first and foremost.
And if you can, and if you can solve this one in 3 minutes,
I've spent my career vocationally bringing people together. I mean, that's what I do. I bring parties together that sometimes want a common goal, but they have very different ways of getting there. One thing you're going to learn in any management school you would go to in the country, whether it's private or public or inner university, they're going to talk about one of the most important things in hiring a CEO or working with other people is everyone's got to be able to get along. I have a staunch history of getting along with people. I mean, my opponent even praised me as being a great guy. One thing, again, and this will roll over because I want to ask the question. When the city council had an opportunity and 16,000 people voted, roughly, Michael DeQuisto in as a council person, and when he doesn't maybe toe the company line or he's not a team player, my opponent voted to bypass him as mayor, thus silencing tens of thousands of voters, putting him there. I don't have a history or a record of doing divisive things like that. And to give you an example, Baron Browning had the same situation down in Anderson. And he said, no, thank you. I've had my time. I don't grow discord among management. I don't grow discord among employees. When I have an employee come in, I do their entrance interview and I do their exit interview at the same time because I tell them, hey, your goal probably isn't to work for Ninja Coalition or Valen Talent Group the rest of your life. So where do you want to be in 3, 5, or 10 years? And let me help you get there and let's do some great things along the way. I'm a collaborator. I always have been and I always will be. But again, I'm going to go back and I want to ask my opponent, how does she expect to get along with other supervisors when she showed that if people don't toe the company line, you're out?
Okay, Aaron, you have a minute.
I'm going to go, I would like to address two things. One, you can say that you don't create division and do all those sort of things, but last round in the primary, you sent lies to every single household in District 1, specifically about my business, and you and I both know that you lied because you lied and put the wrong address down. We also know that you lied about the things that happened within my business. So for somebody who doesn't create division, I will sit over here the entire time, and I will be kind, and I will be gracious, and you will attempt to skirt the lines that Carl has put in place so that you can create division between you and I. So that you can say to the community, look, my opponent can't be trusted. You should just be standing on the things in which that you would actually like to do. So if you could start talking about the things in which that you will do rather than the things in which that you think I have done, I think that would be beneficial to people who are making decisions.
And Kevin, the question was, what would you do? Yeah, you have 1 minute. The question was, and let me remind everybody, because of the animosity that there's been out there in both the public and between the board's members, what would you do as a candidate, as if you're elected, to calm the waters?
So I'm going to answer.
Okay.
Yeah, because every single mailer, every single thing I put in print is 100% documented fact. And people can go access this online at any time. And again, I'll give my cell phone out, 530-524-0005. You come meet with me. I will show you what I have, because this isn't about attacking a person. It's about policy, and it's about a history and a record of, again, like, she still didn't answer the question, because that's what people do when they are not being forthright. And I think District 1 in Shasta County deserves transparency and openness. That's all I want.
Okay. We're going to take a 3-minute break right now, and we'll be back right after the break.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around a bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a-rolling on down the San Antonio.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlus Tap House and Mobile Catering, of course. Charlus Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlus will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlus today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlus Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlus Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlus Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlus Tap House and Mobile Catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlus Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlus Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at shastaregionalmedicalgroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group, Your primary care is our primary concern.
Whether it's harvest theme or Halloween, decorate your home for the fall with Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson. Mix and match antique, shabby chic, and farmhouse furniture with vintage holiday decor. There's lots of Halloween decorations to choose from, plus clothing and costume jewelry, including earrings, necklaces, pins, and rings. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Spooktacular savings going on now at Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive, where they offer free estimates and are about 30% less than the national average. Mako also works with most major insurance companies. So whether it's a dent or a ding, a minor fender bender, or a full body repair and paint job, Mako has you covered. Uh-oh, better call Mako. Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992. Have you just received your Starlink? Congratulations! Do you need help installing it? Look no further than your local satellite professionals. That's right, BT Satellite. Call Doug and the whole team to set up your Starlink with the same customer service you've come to know. BT Satellite will set up your Starlink and work with you to make the experience a pleasure for you. Call today and set up your time to install the new Starlink. You know, don't call the 800 number. Call 241-3474. That's BT Satellite, 241-3474.
Okay, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today, we're having a debate between candidates of the for District 1 Supervisor in Shasta County, Aaron Reznor and Kevin Cry. We've asked a series of questions on the budget, acid canal and water, weekly meetings, and animosity. In the boards. I want to remind both candidates to stick to the questions I'm asking, and give me solutions, you know, cause I will tell you, I've been sitting here for 14 years. I have heard every candidate that's run for office has cycled through here. And I realize that many candidates who have not been in public service have great ideas, but once they get elected, things change for some reason. Not that their great ideas aren't there, but that there's bureaucracy in both the city and county governments. So I want to hear, and the people want to hear, solutions to things. Not what they did or they did or they did, but solutions instead of, well, you did this. No, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear a solution to problems that are facing us right now. So, what? No, you're, turn them on. Turn everybody on.
Are you saying, though, in that past history doesn't matter?
What I'm saying is just exactly what I said. I want to hear solutions.
Absolutely.
I want to hear solutions. I don't want to hear what this person did or that person did. You all have plenty of time to say things about each other. In here, during the debate, I want to hear solutions to questions that I'm asking, because that's what people really want. They want to hear what's going to happen, like this one.
Can I have an opportunity to actually to respond to the what I think works in the board?
Sure. You have your minute.
Because I needed to respond to the other things that were said before. One of the things I think that works really well in city council chambers is that everybody respects each other on the board, whether we agree or disagree.
I don't expect them every time. Yeah. I don't want them to every time. To move forward and at the same time represent the people.
Yeah, well, and it's not just this board of supervisors. It's 180,000 residents of the county.
Absolutely.
It's completely fractured and disenfranchised.
Yes.
Absolutely.
What would you do to, you know, our country is fractured.
Oh, 100%.
We are just a microcosm of that. What would you do as supervisor to heal that? Let me put it that way.
Yeah, well, I'd do the same thing I've always done. I'd find opportunities to bring people together. As an example, like during the car fire and the Ninja Warrior experience we did with over 8,000 or 9,000 people through. We had, you know, kids and families who found out they had lost their homes and all their animals inside while they were on the course. And we did that for the campfire. I mean, I would just continue to sow into the community. And that's not going to change whether I'm elected or not, because I've done that. I have a history of sowing into the community. And I don't want the cameras there. I don't even need anybody to know about it. And it's actually uncomfortable talking about it now. Like, I'm going down to San Diego today to do a massive 4-day event down there, bringing the community together. I'm doing one in Kenosha in the spring. So I'm going to give you an example. Is after the Kyle Rittenhouse riots and all of the devastation that happened there, I'm bringing 24,000 kids in that school district together. So as it relates to the community and the board of supervisors and the people, I believe everybody wants to move forward. But again, this isn't a grand plan. This is what I have always done. I have always gotten along with the people I'm either leading, or if I'm in the number two spot, I'm able to be led. So, one more minute. For me, again, like, we don't want evidently to ask and talk about the hard things in this debate or forum. So I think what just has to be done is it has to look at a staunch record of getting along with other people on a council. I haven't served on a council, and I'm unapologetic about that. And let's not forget, my opponent has done one term. And you have to look at the record of what's happened in those situations. And that's all I'm saying.
Okay. Thank you. 2 minutes, Aaron, on bringing it together.
The other thing that I think that works really well is that I remember prior to being on council, when I would sit in planning meetings or when I sat on CSAC, the Community Services Advisory Commission to the city, one of the things that I frequently would hear during public comment was, we had this lengthy debate about when should public comment be? Should it be in the beginning? Should it be at the end? And I feel like you asked a lot of elected leaders during that time. That was a pretty contentious issue. One of the things that the city council does that I think balances that really well is that the first 30 minutes of every meeting are public comment. And then the rest of public comment is trailed to the end of the meeting so that all of that work can get done. I think that that's one way in which that we balance, and it has worked, and it works really well. Everybody gets their voice heard. The work of the government is still continuing. The work of the people is still continuing. When we have consultants that fly in, they're still making their plane flights because of the time frame. Department heads are getting their stuff heard, and then they're going out. But people are also being heard, and they're being listened to. And I had somebody explain it. I went to a training for League of Cities because I'm a member of the League of Cities and our representative. And the city attorney said that she said, you need to think about public comment like reservations at a dinner place. People who are on the agenda have a reservation. They have reserved time to be there. They're not walking in, and it would be rude for everybody who just walked in to cut in front of anybody who made a reservation of a moment and business to discuss.
Okay.
So for my 1 minute on the rebuttal on that, and I think this is where my opponent and I, where that fork really comes in the road, because every time she mentioned government and people in the same sentence, government always came first. And with me, people will always come first. And when we talk about consultants having to catch their flights, I don't care if a consultant catches their flight or not, because the first person we're serving as an elected official is that little old lady who came down taking a bus and wants her piece heard and maybe doesn't want to stay till 11 o'clock at night. And for me, I think the most important when we talk about reservations is we have to start putting constituents and people's voices before the government, because that's what it needs to be. People have to be listened to. And when we talk about bringing people together, we can have all the business in the world running. But if we lose sight of why we're there and who put us there, the whole system crumbles. And I think that's just the biggest difference between my opponent and I. I am there for the people. I am there to listen, and I will do it all day long. And then the business stuff does have to happen. But if you're a business, you're probably for profit, and you can wait in line behind the taxpayers that are going to be paying that person's salary.
Okay. Next question. For 14 years, I've listened to complaints about the permitting process in Shasta County, specifically numerous trips back for the same project. What will you do specifically to streamline the process for permitting? Aaron, 3 minutes.
I think probably I understand this maybe more than anybody who sits on the board or on city council, being that I have been through both of those processes.
City and county,
numerous times. I think that it's a culture issue mostly. I think that there are, do we have the people in the right positions, that sort of thing. Are we outside of the dinosaur ages? I advocated for 4 years for us to get planning and permitting all online, and we have just now, because there were some, well, director vacancies and stuff to push a big project like that through to bring us into new enterprise software. We've just approved funding for that at the city. But those are the sort of things. Somebody needs to be able to submit their plans fully online. They need to be able to check them online the entire time. They need to be able to submit them one time. But I think that ultimately it comes from the top in terms of a culture issue. Are we customer first? And is the goal, I think that it's this shift, because a lot of times you're thinking about folks who are engineers. So they're people whose brains naturally work in a checking to make sure that everything is safe. Are all of the T's crossed? Are all of the I's dotted? Did they meet all of the rules and restrictions? And in California, there's a lot of rules and restrictions that we can't just look the other way, because that's just the law. So they're doing all of that. They're natural. They're not necessarily always the like natural personality to be the fun guy, but I think that they deeply care about people. And I think that we can teach them to have a posture to the person who's coming in at the counter to say, how can I help you make this happen, rather than how can I check to make sure you're doing it right? And I think that if we are customer focused in that way, I think that that will really start to help. And I also would like to add a couple more bodies in that, in specific areas there.
In the permitting department.
In permitting, because I think that there are people who have to check, and you can only check so many times. And as we have this natural retirement sort of attrition, I think that we need to make sure that we have capable people who are coming back behind.
Okay. And Kevin, you have a minute on that. And then I'm going to ask you that same question, by the way. I'm going to give you 3 minutes here, because I think this is an important process about the permitting process in Shasta County. You are familiar with that also.
Correct.
What would you do to help this permitting process?
Is this a rebuttal?
No, you can't 3 minutes. Well,
yes, we are changing it.
I'm going to go back to this. Okay. No, you have your minute for rebuttal.
My thing isn't about being adversarial, right? And this is the hero of the goat kind of thing, that if you've been in elected office, you have the opportunity to hit 4 home runs or strike out 4 times. And for me, when it comes to permitting process, affordability, I think, is one thing where we can start. Customers focused, absolutely, but every chance my opponent has had the opportunity to raise rates and fees as it relates to permitting. She's done that. She's made it more expensive. She's made it less affordable for your average person to build and do that. I believe in Tehama County, as an example, when we talk about customer service, they get things through much, much quicker. And they're a neighboring county. So how is it that they've figured it out, but yet we still fall behind that? And I get it. California is not an easy place to have to run a business or build new projects. But we all are looking to hire employees, hire the best people we can. But I think a lot of that just starts on how are we helping the constituent? How are we helping the consumer? How are we helping the small business owner or the middle class to be able to build, streamline that process, but most importantly, make it affordable because we're going into a recession. You bet.
Thank you. Aaron.
I think that it's really important to have an elected official who knows what the laws and rules are within the state of California. It is illegal to charge more than it costs to run anything, actually. So it is, in the state of California, any government entity cannot charge more than what it can show that it costs to make that happen. So if it takes 10 hours, we can only, and it's only 10 billable hours, that's the rate in which that it costs. And every single time we do review those things of whether or not we are paying, because you can say, yeah, we want to hire people and all of that, but you do have to afford to pay for their salaries. So there is a negative side of the government is not necessarily any sort of private entity. We cannot sell more of something. So what it costs to do business is the price in which that they are, the only way in which that they are allowed to charge.
Okay. That's it.
So there's
No, you had your chance.
No, absolutely.
These are the rules. Now, totally. The next question is yours. What's the first two projects, if you're elected, what are the first two or three projects that you would push for as supervisor?
You're on.
We can hear you.
We definitely have to address the mental health issue we have here. In Shasta County, and it's not just Shasta County, it's California, it's everywhere. Governor Newsom finally, I would say, did something that I'm in support of in passing the CARES Court Act, which I think that's going to be able to streamline the process for conservatorships and having people be that liaison to a family member that definitely needs to get help but is refusing it. So I think that's going to be a process that's actually going to really, really help. So that's something I want to tackle. But within that, I want to look at our health and human services budget of $300 million. We still have very hardworking people, but we have people still working remotely. And I think when we take a look at how our resources are being spent to help individuals with mental health, I think we have to hold that level of accountability a little bit higher. The second is the jail, and that's a whole other question. So I don't know if you're going to ask me a question.
Because we're out of time here, practically.
Absolutely.
So
the other thing definitely is the jail. And like one thing we continue to talk about is, you know, the city of Anderson wanted the whole complex moved down there, but the board of supervisors and community leaders said, oh, absolutely not. We can't do that because we'd have to transport people all the way down there. Well, now we're talking about building something east of Airport Road, east of Airport Road. So we just built a $173 million courthouse. And if we're going to put something out East Airport Road, that's the same argument. So what we're not having is we're not having people having the long-term vision and planning to do these things. So I think we have to address the mental health and the homeless situation, but also the jail. That jail, I mean, I don't like it downtown. I hate it downtown. But the problem is that's the hand we're dealt. And we have to see that through because people need relief now. We have to make sure. And also another thing I want to add when we talk about the possible jail going out Airport Road is there's no environmental impact report. And again, no one's listened to the community. Do they even want it out there? There's been no time for public comment. So we're rushing to put it out there. So that has to be looked at, and it has to be looked at really, really aggressively because that's a big deal. And that's going to affect Shasta County long after I'm dead. We're talking 50, 60 years. And we have to have the forethought to see where we're going. Is that my time?
No, you got to. You got 45 seconds.
Oh, great. I'm sorry. I thought we were out of time. So
no, you get three minutes.
So addressing those two things, I think is what's the most important to everybody. I mean, we have fire mitigation. We have water, huge issues. It's not like they're 1, 2, 3, and 4. They're really like 1A, 2A, three. I mean, they're all number one priority. There's one A, one B, one C. But, I mean, we have people that are unsheltered, unhoused, that absolutely need help. We got to get them help. And we got to look at that budget because $300 million goes a really long way. And there is a lot of waste. And I'm not saying people aren't working hard, but we have to bring city leaders together within the county. So City of Shasta Lake, City of Anderson, City of Redding, and the Board of Supervisors. And I'm a collaborator and I know I can get that done.
Okay. Thank you. And you have 3 minutes, Aaron. If elected supervisor, what are your three main projects you'd like to see?
Well, first I would like to, I think that the jail is a bigger long-term, sort of thing. So I'll touch on that second. But I think that one of the things that would produce the greatest, quickest results are more clinicians, more case managers, out with the crisis intervention response team. Crisis intervention response team so far, because homelessness, I think, is frustrating for everybody. It's frustrating for the family members of somebody who, is unsheltered or has a mental health issue or a drug addiction issue. It's frustrating for the business owner. It's frustrating. It's frustrating all around for all parties involved. But the CERT team has so far helped 233 individuals. So crisis intervention response team, they're plain clothes officers with body armor underneath. They go out with a clinician from the county. So that is meant to be a collaboration. It was originally meant to be a collaboration between Anderson, City of Reading, and the county. However, the City of Reading ended up leading that charge because we were the only ones who created funding for that. So, I think that one of the most impactful things would be for us to give more case managers, because homelessness and mental health are really individualized issues, and each person needs something specifically. I also would love to start giving the deputies the sort of resource lists that we have RPD. So those are housing lists when they come across somebody who's housing, resources to get them help, any of those sort of, where can we take you? How can we get you some help? Those sort of things. I would love to arm the deputies with the same sort of resource lists. In regards to the jail, I know that in our last debate, my opponent said we need to stop thinking about the future, but I think that the long-term planning is something that is the most important. And I have heard numerous times the sheriff and Mr. Magrini both say during presentations that if they're going to have to transport them across the street for the new courthouse, then transportation is something they have to figure out either way. And long-term planning, because we didn't do a good job of long-term planning. We have the highest building in the middle of our city is our jail. And it's dark and dingy and dangerous, very dangerous place. And I think that outside of the city is a great opportunity. They have some areas that will work. They have properties that the county can acquire. And I think that we need to long-term plan for the future so that we're not leaving the same sort of problem that was left for us. And I believe that one of the funding sources for that can be that integration of health and human services and the dollars that come from the state, because the state will give funding. There are grants available. The county has put aside money. I believe 14 or 15 million last year. I believe that that's the same plan this year. I believe it's going to cost many hundred of million dollars to build a, we'll call it detention and rehabilitation campus. But thank you for my time.
Okay. So what I'm hearing from both of y'all is the jail is a big thing. Both of you are agreeing that having it downtown may not be the best answer. That there is land out there.
I'm not agreeing that the jail should go anywhere else other than downtown. I said I hate it. I hate it downtown. But that's the hand we're dealt, and that's where it has to go.
Okay. All right. We've got exactly 2 minutes left. So, Aaron, final thoughts here.
I would first and foremost sort of like to say that I appreciate the two of you, and I appreciate you asking. I appreciate your thoughtful comments and questions. I really would like to commend you on that. I think that you know, we have done this. This is probably the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth time in which that we have sat and shared our thoughts, and typically our questions are the same. So I just want to say, like, thank you for asking more difficult questions. I shared this last time during our last debate, but I would sort of like to share this again just in closing. Every year I pick a physical challenge to push myself mentally and physically. I've ran marathons and would like to do one in every state before I die. This year, I've done like lots of weird physical challenges, push-up challenges, all those sort of things. But this year, I did a climbing event called 29029. Participants climb the equivalent of Everest in 36 hours. As a Marine, you probably know what those sort of things are like. And we do it all for Red Hat. 13 times I climbed Snow Basin in Utah through rain and lightning storms, cramps and exhaustion. Each of us climbed for a different reason. Each of us approached the goal with a unique strategy, when to eat or whether to sleep, how to approach the piece of the trail that felt impossible. I climbed with two 9/11 survivors, a cancer survivor, an overcomer of addiction, a mom who just wanted to teach her teenage boys that she was tough. We weren't there to beat each other or to outdo the other person. We had personal reasons that brought us to 29029. But when we all experienced the power, what we all experienced was the power of overcoming a literal mountain, because a community of people are willing to leave their egos in their tents and charge towards the same goal, no matter how differently we may approach it.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. Kevin, you get 2 minutes also.
So, you know, I ran not because of any kind of prestige or position. Like, I'm running because a lot of people in the community came and said, hey, after you spoke at the Board of Supervisors meeting, you're exactly what we want. My opponent said I've been a great guy. I am still a great guy.
I think she said that about a year ago.
Yeah, but she said it a year ago. But you know what?
Definitely.
I'm the same person. And the thing is this is the difference. I just have to say it, because we're electing people that we have to trust. And people can go back and listen to the recording. And she just said we've had 6, 7, or 8 exchanges. We've had 4. Barron Browning and Chris Kellstrom have had 6 this election. Real debates. I'm going to spend my morning definitely in living rooms, because people will call me. And I don't know if enough people will call me to get elected. But I'm going to give you my phone number, 530-524-0005. And I guarantee it, like I do every single time, people will call and I will go over, sit in their living room, pet their dog, let the cat lick my shoe, and I'll answer tough questions. Because that's the calling of an elected official. And somewhere along the line, Carl and Linda, we've lost that. We've lost it. The trust in public officials is eroded and gone. And it's eroded and gone here in the great county of Shasta. So I would encourage you, if you're listening, give me a call. Get a hold of my opponent. Invite us both in separately. That's fine. Look us in the eye. Ask us the tough questions. Make sure they're yes or no questions, because I'm going to give you a yes or no answer, because you as a constituent deserve honesty, transparency, and the ability to be up front.
Okay.
I love Shasta County, and thank you guys for having us.
I would like to thank both of you for being here. It has been an interesting time for me here. And a lot of times you see things and you hear things. I would like to, again, thank both of you for being here and giving us your thoughts. This is an important election, as every election is important, and I urge everybody to be involved. The fact that you two are throwing your bodies literally out there.
And we also wanted to let everybody know that didn't get all of this, that this will be in the archives today. You can go to KCNR 1460 and listen to everything that you heard this morning. If you wanted to, like, wait a minute, was that said, or did I not hear that right? You'll be able to hear that back. And we appreciate both of you, because we know it's very vulnerable when we all get in the same room like this to just let it all hang out.
Well, the other thing, too, is we endorse nobody ever. And the reason for that is we are proud of the people that run. You're our neighbors. We don't endorse. Because we're so proud of everybody that runs, you know, picking sides is not something that we do. Thank you very much, Kevin.
Thank you.
And Aaron, thank you very much for being here. And we're going to return now to our regularly scheduled program.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down.